This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Subject of food, Fiona, here on Escape Hour, which is Joy's premier lifestyle hour for talking about food it and travel. Is. Fiona, we have a guest.
We do. Jeri Mai. She is a culinary legend in Melbourne.
Oh, you're looking surprised. Yes. Jeri Mai.
Hi.
Welcome to Escape Hour, Jeri. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. The very flattering words.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not certainly the first person to say them. Numbers of people have said that you're a culinary legend. You've been cooking in Melbourne for 20 plus years.
I normally say way too long.
Way too long.
And you're Googleable.
Oh, thanks.
A lot of people who sit in kitchens or stand in kitchens or work in kitchens, I should say, aren't easily Googleable. But if you Google Jeri Mai, you do find a lot of interviews about you, information about you. You're certainly somebody who's prominent on the Melbourne food scene.
Thank you. I think I've been here way too long. That's all I can put it down to. I've
just in
been
the here, studio?
No, I've just been in this industry for a very long time, you know, over 20 years or so. And I've just been very fortunate to have some really good people support me along the way. And, you know, we're doing something different. Well, I'm doing something different. It's trying to bring Vietnamese food back to what Vietnamese food is. And I think for a very long time now we've been misled and led down the wrong path of what Vietnamese food is. It's not a Mongolian beef, you know. you know.
Jeri, you really surprised us all when we were talking about that before and discussing how Victoria Street does not represent the true nature of Vietnamese cuisine. And for listeners who don't know, Jeri is the head chef and co-owner of Anam, which is opened last year in the CBD in Little Bourke Street to great applause.
Mm. Yeah. And we also have Phở Nôm, which is a quick service Vietnamese street food, really focusing on paddock to plate. Mm. So we deal directly with farmers. We deal direct, you know, our eggs, our pate, our organic free range, our pork, our chicken. It's trying to bring a little bit of, well, I think firstly, we all deserve to eat free range and we all should eat free range.
Can we just take it one step back, Jeri? Vietnamese food, that's one thing. You've got an Australian accent. People might not necessarily know your connection with Vietnam and Melbourne. So walk us through a bit of history, because I think that'll give people a bit more context on...
Well, my parents were very fortunate few who were able to immigrate here back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. We arrived in Australia in 84 and it was very welcoming. It was so different to how we treat immigrants now. But that's a whole new topic.
Unless they're white South African farmers.
Yes. So that's a whole new topic. So let's not go there today. Let's not digress. So what we arrived in 84, we were in Bris Vegas. Oh. To start off with, and I grew up in Bris Vegas. We moved here when I was in my late teens. I come from a background of parents that have had cafes, restaurants like that throughout Vietnam, Cambodia, and the refugee camp. So I guess it seems like a natural progression.
Hardworking
people who, that worked every day, all day.
Long hours.
To get us, my brothers and I, where we are today. Mm-hmm. And so from that, I think it was just naturally that this is what my parents had done. Mm-hmm. So something I went towards. And I think the other thing that really... you know, pushed me to cooking was there's a Vietnamese saying that says "muốn ăn lăng vô bếp," which means if you want to eat, you go in the kitchen.
I really
like eating.
Yeah, so you like a kitchen.
Yeah, so I went into the kitchen. You know, I remember the first things I got taught by my mother was how to do a quick stir fry.
Right.
You know, you stir fry the meat, you semi blanch the veggies, and then you throw it in. It's not a stew; it's a stir fry. It's hard. It's fast. It's furious.
Hot.
Mm-hmm. It's hot. You know, it's not slowly stewing in a pan. And one of the first few things that I learned. And then from there, how to cook stocks, because stocks and soups are very important in Vietnamese cooking.
Is this all throughout Vietnam or particularly where your parents...
All throughout Vietnam. Soup is a large part of Vietnamese dining and eating. Yeah, a large part of it. Not just the what we know as pho. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, hủ tiếu, there's bún, there's bánh canh, there's all kinds of soups. So to have a successful soup is to have a soup that is super clear. The clarity is very important.
Right.
And the flavour is very important. And it's got to do with time. You can't rush these things. Where, you know, over the years, people have, where we've been misled is the misconception that it's a very quick soup and it's compensated with MSG or chicken powder or all those sort of things. So the love and the process in it has been lost. So now going to where I am now with Phnom, all our stocks, free range bones, the beef stock is cooked between 20 to 24 hours, sits on a slow simmer. Our chicken stocks get 8 to 10 to 12 hours, depending. So we let the stock tell us when it's ready.
Wow.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Now, Jerry, you live in Richmond.
I live in Richmond.
Yeah.
I love Richmond.
Richmond's a cool suburb too.
It's so cool. It's got everything that I need within walking distance, and it's also very easy for me to get to work.
Are you close to Little Saigon? Victoria Street.
No, I'm between Bridge and Coppin.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Further towards the river.
Yeah. I'm slowly moving to the better and better side of Richmond. I used to be just off Victoria Street.
Yeah.
And then about 4 or 5 years ago, we moved further towards...
South.
I think what you do is you move further towards the river.
Yeah.
It means the better you've done in Richmond because the property value seems to go up and the rental seems to go up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Richmond used to be known as, back in the very early days, it used to be known as Struggle Town because it was also very low-lying and it would flood extensively.
Yeah.
I don't know where
I wouldn't mind a bit of rain in my garden right now, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, I love it. It's fantastic. I was just working out the other day. With the Vietnamese eating restaurants there, that of options I have, I may never need to go to Victoria Street again, except to go and eat roast duck, because there's some wonderful places there. You've got, you know, Hanoi Hanan's new quarters just opened there. You've got Mr. Min,
one of my favourites.
It's opening on Bridge Road.
Is he?
Yep.
P.S. restaurant over in Bridge Road.
Because they just opened the other one 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When you relocated.
They've still got the Uber Eats that you and I both get.
Yeah.
Now they have a restaurant I can go into.
Yeah.
And then you've got Anchovy, who's restaurant.
Yeah, right, Anchovy.
And then you've got
super tasty.
Jammu, who's just opened around a corner as well. Mm. So it's this selection that I've just realised, epiphany I had on the weekend. Mm. I was like, I may never have to leave this area again.
Apart from when you work.
And when I have to go to work.
Because we need you to go into that restaurant.
Yeah, so we've got to go to work.
Yeah.
And it's great. You know, on a motorbike, it takes me about 10, 15 minutes to get in. Traffic's really good. I love it.
Well, it's just three East Mel and then you're there.
Yeah.
So you were talking before about the stocks and so forth and what goes into creating it. And off air, we were talking about you'll be in the kitchen tonight and the different roles you play in the kitchen throughout the week. Because people that run HOSPO work hard. You're not 9-to-5 guys. You're not tapping out at 30 hours a week.
No, I think people also have this misconception that because I own venues and I'm an own operator, therefore I work Monday to Friday, 9-to-5.
And point.
I actually, during the week I'm in a section. So some days I'm on a grill section, some days I'm in hots. Wherever they need me is where I am. Normally on the weekend I run the pass, which is calling the orders and making sure the food is impeccable when it comes out.
Because a lot of competition, you've got to get it right.
You know, I taught once that you get one chance. Mm. So whatever you put on that pass is that one chance. There's no going back anymore. Back in the day where people were not happy with a meal, they would tell you there and then. and you can rectify and offer them something else or fix
that dish.
Now they
rate online.
Now they go back home and then, they say, oh, that was a lovely meal, thank you very much. And we'll think, oh, we've done our job, this is really good. Mm. And then we get a review of, service was slow or meal wasn't what I expected.
I read a bizarre one on one of the social media things. This guy said, food was amazing, service was great, blah, 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 but they didn't keep filling up our wines evenly. And I was like, okay, so in a restaurant, and were you able-bodied? Were you able to point out to someone that maybe put another splash in, my friends?
You can always ask. It's as if people think that they've lost the opportunity to have a voice in a situation, but yet find that they have all this power behind the keyboard.
But you could accomplish so much more if you tell me, I want my glass filled up more, or my guest's glass need to be filled up more, and that can be resolved there and then.
I think a lot of people, though, are unconfrontational, and the advent of, so many aspects of our lives that means that you could avoid confrontation. Mm. It's not confrontational to say to your waiter, actually, I'm not that happy with this, or I'd like to see a little bit more of that. And if you do it in a polite and considerate way, because you know that person, it's working really hard. Mm.
Could you kindly fill up the glass to a little higher, please?
Just say, I think that's
a big P word.
Yeah, or even just, I ordered, if you go to somewhere, I ordered medium steak and it's a well done steak. Can you, this is not what I ordered, can I change it, please?
Sorry about it, but.
And then it just gets changed. It's that simple, and it's resolved there and then. And you are correct, actually. I'm really glad you pointed that out. It's confrontational and we don't like. Being confronted, we don't like that anymore, which is a real shame. Back in the days with dining, where it was what you did. If your pasta was cooked too much, you can send it back. If your chicken was too well done, or
there's a little bit of anxiety around doing that, and I'm not sure whether that's on the increase or whether it's just maybe there's a lot more people dining out now. I mean, certainly the MasterChef effect, as we spoke about earlier, was really fantastic for the first 3 years, and certainly it's got a lot of people out and about and has contributed to the increase of hospitality venues certainly in Melbourne, which is...
Look, massive. 100%. And, what we do at Annam and what we do at Phernom, we're trying to push the envelope in Vietnamese food, so we're always going to be criticised. We're always, always going to be criticised.
How do you mean?
Well, in the sense, everybody's got this perception that Vietnamese food is cheap and cheerful, you shouldn't pay more than $12 or $15 or $18. Like, for example, at Phernom, a bowl of pho is $12.90, $13. Mm. But that's free-range bones, no MSG, cooked for 24 hours.
It's a real deal.
It's a real deal.
It takes labour.
It's a real deal if you go into my mum's house and she cooked it, and that's the love and that she'll put into the soup and that she'll put into that bowl. Mm. It's the same as we've done there. But we get criticised all the time because I can go to Victoria Street and get a $9, or I can go to Footscray in Hopkins Street and get an $8.50 bowl. Mm. But it's a hard comparison. And when we're doing, at Annam, we cook with fire. We use a lot of cooking with fire, charcoal, wood. We use the best products that we can get and the freshest produce that can come to us from our meat supplier and from our seafood supplier. We get beautiful fish in all the time as part of our market fish, and the price changes depending how much that fish comes in or how big that fish is. Mm. And people still complain that, why should I pay over $20 for a fish?
But they can go to Victoria Street for that. They can go to Footscray for that. There's plenty of other places that they can go for cheap eats.
100%, but they like...
Because
we're Vietnamese.
Okay, so they're only looking at the kind of cuisine as Vietnamese cheap food, whereas
100%.
It's not necessarily...
And our service is different. Our dining room is totally different.
Yeah, design it.
Our bathroom is totally different. it's the whole package we're offering you now. Open that very same restaurant and said I was a Thai restaurant, or if I was a Western restaurant, an Australian models restaurant, no one would batter an eyelid over what we charge or over.
But I think other cuisines have had that struggle as well. We had a guest from a Mexican restaurant 2 weeks ago who mentioned something similar. The kind of labour they were putting in was different to Mexican cheap eats, and I think that the Thai cuisine has had to work hard to step up and deliver a higher brow experience, a long grain kind of
but branding. It's, we're custom paying $15, $18 for a pad thai. We don't think about
don't
it.
Even blink my eyes.
But exactly. But if I serve a noodle in Annam or in Phnom, our noodle dishes, it's too high.
Mm. Well, I guess it's going through the processes of becoming in other people's eyes, a more legitimised cuisine, and people will learn once they taste the difference and understand the differences between what they were getting in Victoria Street as to what they would be getting in your venue and in other venues that will no doubt pop in to actually also start competing with you and start to say, well, look, let's try and raise the profile of Vietnamese food more fully.
And it's already started. We've already started seeing this because when we opened Phu Nom 4 years ago, no one was ever selling a free-range chicken pho. But now if you go down to Victoria Street and Hopkins Street, people are starting to sell free-range chicken and fur.
Well, that's
so maybe you're the bell cow. Maybe you're taking the leadership position.
I'm taking the beating for everybody.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
We're talking about stocks and so forth and making Vietnamese food less of a cheap eat, but making sure people have the full experience and having the higher quality example, which Annam is delivering.
Yes, is having that higher quality and also going back to traditional ways and methods and recipes.
So what has changed, Jerry? What's changed? What needs to be focused on to make sure we've got some really traditional examples of Vietnamese food?
Look, the most part of it is stocks, for starters, to go back to being cooked over time and love. Mm. We cook a lot of our food, our seafood, our meats over charcoal. So if you're in Vietnam, you're walking down the streets in any city in Vietnam, actually, in Ho Chi Minh City, in Hanoi, in Hue, Vietnamese people love cooking with charcoal because it creates a different flavour, a different smell, you know, the fat's dripping off the meat and then hitting that charcoal and that heat and then that finally coming back into the meat so the smokiness comes back in. And then when we got over here, we try to make the process so simple and we're trying to, you know, cut corners so they deep fry their pork chops or they deep fry their skewers or they deep fry their betel leaf so it's easy or they pan fry it because it's easier. Then
it's not the same.
It's not the same. Mm. And that's 100% if you come and try a fish, a whole grilled fish and have it with rice paper with us and do it yourself at the table with us at Annam. It's beautiful charred flavours when you use charcoal and when you use iron bark. So, you know, the really nice smoky comes through it. Yesterday we had these beautiful prawns, small little prawns that came fresh in from Lake's Entrance that morning, straight on the barbecue with some chilli salt that we buy back from Vietnam from my mum's hometown, actually.
Oh, wow.
So it's Da Nang, where she's hometown is, and they make this very beautiful chili shrimp salt. So we just toss that through the prawns, straight on the char grill over the fire, over the wood, and then straight out, and just a galangal nuk mum, and that's it. You get your hands in and you peel, and it's probably one of the best prawns I've had in a very long time.
So it must be with your new family. Oh, look at my segue. It must be really important. It must be really important to embrace the tradition to pass on to your son. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So we've recently had a little boy, little Harrison. Mm. His long-winded name is Harrison Viet Colet Mai. My wife wanted a tag in and I wanted a tag in, so now he's got a hyphenated name, the poor kid.
Double-barreled.
Yeah, double-barreled.
He's going to need one of those really long credit
cards. Yeah, he's not going to learn how to write his name very quickly either. So he's 8 weeks old tomorrow.
Birthday to you, Harrison.
And part of the culture is that you have a one-month birthday.
Right.
Like a naming day kind of.
Yeah. So he had his 1 month birthday and all this suckling pig, I helped him eat it. He couldn't eat any of it.
Oh, such a shame.
Such a shame for him. But it's so important to me because I want to make sure my son can speak Vietnamese. I want to make sure that my son understands, you know, the first month birthday, the the dirt celebrations, you know, the family dinner with dirt, the first, the second, the third, how important it is to see family, the Lunar Festival.
Because your wife isn't Vietnamese from heritage, is she?
No, my wife is Australian.
Skippy the Bush Kangaroo.
Very much so, from King Lake.
So would you be hoping that Harrison can spend some more time with your parents?
Look, he's going to spend some time with my parents so he can learn to speak Vietnamese. Yep. We are in plans of talking about moving to Vietnam for about 6 months on and 6 months off before he goes to school.
Incredible opportunity.
So that he can learn to speak the language. Mm. He can see where his heritage, where his culture, where he's come from. Yep. So to explain, he's an IVF. The donor is Vietnamese. So my wife is Australian. Right. The IVF donor is Vietnamese, so my son still is very half Vietnamese, half Australian.
Right.
And there was unfortunately only one Vietnamese donor out there.
Really?
In Victoria. So if you're a Vietnamese donor, you're a Vietnamese out there, please help us out.
Interesting. Yes. Interesting.
It was one. We nearly had to go overseas for it.
Wow.
So it's super important for us, so much so that we're willing to move to Vietnam 3 to 6 months on and off. I want him to understand... where
not just
his
food, his
not
language,
just food, his language, his culture, what his grandparents had to do to make
a new life.
To this happen, what his grandparents went through to give me this opportunity, and then for him to really understand before he asks me for a G.I. Joe or a new Pokemon or whatever it is cool with kids nowadays, to understand that you can't have that all the time. And to, you know, you look at Vietnamese children, they can't have that all the time. And the average family in Vietnam couldn't afford everything.
Mm-hmm. Would you really want him to have a G.I. Joe being Vietnamese?
No, he'll probably ask for something really random, like a dragon lion head so he can dance it around the house during Lunar New Year.
Yeah, that's a good
one.
And
that will make me so happy if he did. But, you know, I just want him to understand and have a great appreciation as to where his culture and his family have come from.
And where would you go to live in Vietnam when you go over there?
Look, the dream is to live in Ho Chi Minh City. And, you know, while we're there, we'll look for something to do. We might, you know, tours, food tours or something like that. That would be really fun for me.
I think that you'll find a lot of very interested people from Melbourne and Sydney and all across Australia would love to do food tours of Vietnam.
Yeah, especially if you can throw in a bit of a kitchen experience. Because my dad and I, when I was living in Dubai, my dad and I met in Bangkok to do a Thai cooking school at the Blue Elephant.
Mm.
And that was a great experience. They took us through the markets. They did stuff. We don't cook Thai food normally at home, but just watching how those base flavours were created with the mortar and pestle, understanding how it all works together, making sure that you have the right roots instead of and understanding Thai food better was an amazing experience.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can do can do fantastic cooking classes in Bali of Indonesian cuisine with Janet Deneef at Casa Luna, and she does Indonesian spice tour cooking. And
she's in town, isn't she?
She is in town for Melbourne Food and Wine Festival
at the moment.
So Ho Chi Minh City.
Ho Chi Minh City is ideal.
Yeah.
It's
international. It's a big city.
It's a big city. It's a great big city. I have friends there. I have friends who have restaurants there. So, you know, it would be really nice. I have a lot of old staff that have moved back to Vietnam from Ho Chi Minh City. So, and I like going there. It's busy. It's really nice. And I guess the other city if I ever was to live somewhere else would be something like Hoi An, which is really nice and peaceful.
Resort.
Hoi An is lovely.
Yeah, and, you know, the Hoi An city itself, the ancient city itself, is really beautiful, really quiet, really calm. And then you've got the resorts at the other end where the beaches are.
So where's the gay scene in Vietnam? Ho Chi Minh City must have...
Ho Chi Minh City, there's a few sort of very quiet, hush-hush sort of places. It's really odd in Vietnam. It's accepted, but no one talks about it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yep. It's accepted, but no one really talks about it. And they really play out the gender roles of the butcher and the, you know. So it's very – there's quite a few bars that are opening now that are really cool.
I guess with a little tacky, you're not going to spend a lot of time going out on the tequila shots.
Look, you know, I'd really love to.
I'm
but
sure
no.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
No, it's been really great. Having him has been really great. I've been really sober. It's been fantastic.
Is there a strong babysitting culture in Vietnam?
There
Like in the Philippines, there's a real nanny culture.
Yes, there's really great. It's really funny. There's a great nanny culture in Vietnam, as with most Asian countries. But when they and then over here, they don't like their kids being babysat.
No.
The kids go everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, I never quite understood that. People take their children everywhere. I'm like, haven't you ever heard of babysitters?
Yeah, exactly.
There's lots of people out there that would like to earn some extra money, you know, pocket money.
If the parents have the money. But in a place like Dubai, being
true.
Sort of in Middle Eastern, it's a very big part of the culture is to have nannies around.
And
certainly particularly
in Europe
from a
as
language
well.
Perspective, your son learning to speak Vietnamese, if you've got an ability to have a nanny who doesn't necessarily speak English overly well, that would really focus him on the opportunity to be learning from Vietnamese native
speaker. Well, I floated the idea of a nanny to my wife and she's...
It's still floating, is it?
It's still floating.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We are in sunny Melbourne where we have, as everyone knows, the very best things going on in food and beverage. And we're in the midst of the very beginning of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, which goes for a couple of weeks. Jerry, do you have anything involved in Melbourne Food and Wine this year?
Look, I just did the World's Longest Lunch, the Bank of Melbourne World's Longest Lunch yesterday down in Maribyrnong in Footscray. And that was fantastic.
How many people did you feed?
1,700 people.
My God.
Peter Rowland, can I just say, do such an amazing job.
They're a machine, aren't they?
They are amazing.
Mm.
And the way that
and the quality.
The quality is incredible, the way they deliver it. I mean, I've only been to one longest lunch before on the Yarra River a few years ago, and I had so much fun. I just was walking along going, hi, hi, hi.
It's such a sociable event.
It's really fun.
Everybody's so chilled and so nice. It kicks off the festival. Everybody's talking to everybody.
Too.
Yeah, and everybody's talking
nice
to everybody. You're still out in the sun.
Yeah.
You know, the cold hasn't quite hit.
And it's not too hot because today's like 32 or something. 33 today.
Oh, wow.
Top of 33.
It's not going to get there.
Everyone talks
That's
about their
my
33
prediction.
Top.
Or 33 waist. Or 33.
It's all about the apps.
And, so the longest lunch, that was yesterday. Got anything else planned over
No, we're just doing Restaurant Express for lunch for the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's us. Because normally I go to a lot of events during this time of year as well. With little Harry, it's a little bit difficult this year.
Oh, yeah, so you do call him Harry?
Little Hazza. Little Hazza. Hazza Wazza. That's how I wake him up. Hazza Wazza.
Oh, that's adorable.
My wife's not very happy when I do that, though.
Isn't she? What does she prefer?
She calls him Harry.
Harry.
But she,
not
I come
Hazza
home.
Wazza.
No, because I come home. I'm really excited. I haven't seen him all day.
Yeah.
He's sleeping. She's tired.
Yeah.
And all I want to do is play with him.
Yeah.
And then I start looking at him. Hazza Wazza.
And she's had a gutsful because
she's
just gotten
down. Enough. She's had enough. She's about to punch me out.
I mean, you're taking him away and you're making him giggle and laugh.
I know, then I give him back as he's crying. I'm that person.
You got it all down pat.
Yeah.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is the final few moments of the Escape Hour. We love being here on the Escape Hour. We always have such a great time. Stefan, thanks for coming
into
the show. I hope that you're continuing to learn more about radio and the fun. Jerry, I really appreciate you coming on board. It's been great to hear about Anam. And, you know, I feel like I've met Harry.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great afternoon.
And, I wanted to hear more about your story and, you know, you've just done so incredibly well with Anam since you've opened it, which was only in mid last year.
Yeah, at the end of last year, I think September. It feels like I've been there forever.
You've had phenomenal reviews.
Oh, thank you.
Phenomenal. Hey.
God,
that was some low-hanging fruit.
I tell you, if you want to get some fur puns, there is plenty over at the guys from 21st7 across the street. They give you plenty of fur puns if you follow their social media.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll brace ourselves.
Just for you. It goes on and on and on. So we really want to encourage listeners to find out more about the fantastic true nature of Vietnamese food.
Yeah, real Vietnamese food and long-cooked broths seem to be a bit of a theme for today. So as we're encroaching winter.
Yeah, well, cooking with fire, we cook at Annam, which is at 56 Little Bourke Street in the CBD here. And then for some beautiful fur to take you through this autumn and winter, Fur Nom is at Emporium down off Lonsdale Street. And then we have another store at 567 Collins Street as well.
Amazing.
Name your one favourite Vietnamese ingredient.
Fish sauce.
Ah, Hanon Pla, is it?
Yeah, fish sauce. Nuoc Mam.
Nuoc Mam.
Yep. Nuoc Mam.
Yeah. It's the soul to all Vietnamese cooking.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's the secret. So next time I'm in, when I'm go down and try a Phuc Dan.
Yeah.
Oh, but then there's the debate about who makes the best fish sauce.
Well,
do you know who makes
the
fish? Is it your mum?
Mum makes everything for me. She still thinks I can't cook. I still get told off when I go home.
Yeah.
But fish sauce is buying, it's like buying olive oil if you put it down to a first press beautiful olive oil to a first press fish sauce.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to have to go and learn a bit more.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.